Jimi Hendrix once said, "The principle of listening," someone had said, "is to develop a big ear rather than a big mouth." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We are very caller-friendly, and we certainly look forward to hearing your point of view. For those of you who may be listening for the first time, our perspective is this. We believe that there is one God, and through him there's one truth which is found in the Bible. Our purpose is to stir your thinking up along with ours as we continually search for clarity and understanding this one truth.
While we are not here to teach, we are here to seriously provoke your thinking according to Hebrews 10:24, which is the theme for our program. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This provoking is encouraged by Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together. And we look to frame our comments in the context of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. Quench not the Spirit, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And the only end result we seek to accomplish is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And if you'd like to contact us and suggest a topic for a future program, and win a Christian Questions travel mug, this is what you do.
You write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320, or check us out on the web at www.christianquestions.net.
And if you do have a Christian question or want to reopen a previously aired topic, give us a call, write us a note, send us an email, let us know, and we will see what we can do. So on behalf of Jonathan, my co-host.
Good morning, Rick.
And Fred, the smiling one behind the board.
Good morning, gentlemen.
We want to welcome you to this hour of our program. Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to you both.
Thank
Happy
you.
Father's
Happy
Day
Father's
to you guys.
Day.
And we're going to actually do a program on guess what? You know, sometimes we become predictable.
That's
today,
right.
Today is one such day. But where were we last week, Jonathan?
Well, Rick, last week we talked about are you willing or are you a rebel?
And that was in the context of our 7-year birthday, remember?
That's right. Our anniversary.
That's right.
The Christian Questions radio program to the day.
7 years of this. Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
Some of the listeners are saying that, oh, this is unbelievable.
You're probably right.
Yeah, but that's okay. Anyway, Jonathan, our topic today. Oh, and I just got to give you a quick update. Last week, I spent about 5 or 10 minutes talking about my parents.
That's right.
And their 50th anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it worked out so well. We had our the renewal vows ceremony at the church that they were married at originally 50 years ago.
And they had no clue.
No clue at all. I mean, even when I pulled in, my mother was thinking, like, well, what are you stopping here for? And then she noticed everybody standing on the front steps of the church waiting for them.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was great. And then we had a big surprise picnic at their house.
Neat.
With all of the friends and family and so forth. So worked out very well. Very, very, very great day.
That's great.
But anyway, today, Jonathan.
Our question, Rick, this morning is, what is a father? And our theme text is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him.
So, Jonathan, each and every year, come the middle of June, we celebrate Father's Day. It's a day set aside to honor those fathers who have played a positive and important role in our lives and in the shaping of our culture. Now, unfortunately, it seems as though more and more fathers are taking a lesser role in the lives of their children, that our culture doesn't seem to care. This morning, we will look at what makes a father and use the ultimate example, that of the Almighty God, Father and Creator of us all. And Jonathan, our only question is real simple.
What makes a father?
So if you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782, 443-WSUB. And Jonathan, we're going to actually base our comments this morning on a piece that was written by a gentleman by the name of Roy Lesson. And he's a Christian writer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ella actually sent this to me.
Oh, good.
And he just has had some really good, simple perspective on fatherhood. So why don't we start out by reading again our theme scripture And that was the scripture that he had started his piece with.
Okay.
And then we'll read through his short piece, and then we'll begin to open up the conversation.
All right. And again, it's found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him.
The heart of a father is found in the heart of God. In order for a man to be the kind of father that his children need, a man must understand what kind of father God is to his children. Here are four important areas to consider.
And the first, Rick, is leadership. Children need leadership. A father has been called by God to instruct his child, point his child to the path of life, and show his child how to walk upon it. A father is a child's spiritual leader. From a father's lips, a child needs to hear wise words and wise counsel. From a father's steps, a child needs to see the importance of wise choices and good decisions. From a father's love, a child needs to discover his purpose, his identity, and his true worth.
And then just read that last tagline there.
A dad is respected because he gives his children leadership.
And the second point in this piece by Roy Lesson is care. Children are very needy people. Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Every child needs to be cared for and have his or her basic needs met. A father has been given the main responsibility of caring for and providing for his children. A man's work is a God-given way for a father to care for his family. No work is small or insignificant in the eyes of God. A man's work is honorable and is a doorway through which a father helps to express his love and care for his children in practical ways. A dad is appreciated because he gives his children care.
Time. Every child has a need to spend time with his father. Being a father is about being together with your child to share life's joys and God's blessings. Every moment a father spends with his child is another opportunity for good to happen in a child's life. A father needs to value and guard his time with his children. Time is a precious gift that a father can give his children, and it will have far greater value than any material gift he could ever buy for them. A dad is valued because he gives his children time.
And the fourth point is himself. Even greater than a father giving his child the gift of time is when a father gives his child the gift of himself. When a father gives the gift of himself, he's saying to his child, I am not only spending this time with you, but you have my complete attention. My eyes are upon you, my watch care is over you, my thoughts are with you, and my love is around you. When God spoke to Abram, God gave him this precious promise. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Genesis 15:1. A dad is loved because he gives his children the one thing they treasure most, himself. So, Jonathan, in our program this morning, we're going to break it into four pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting. Pretty simple.
Yeah, leadership, care, time, and himself.
You know, I love it when somebody else does the thinking for me. So how do you figure this out? Oh, good, he did it. And I think it's important to look at each of these four parts of fatherhood as we go through this day, Father's Day 2005, and measure what it means to be a leader. Measure what it is to give a father's care, a father's time, and for a father to give of himself. So as our program unfolds, that's the direction we're going to take. But as an introduction to that, we mentioned in our opening comments that we wanted to use the ultimate example of fatherhood as the example of what fatherhood ought to be. And that is looking at God, our Father, the Creator, the Almighty God. So let's take a look at a few scriptures, Jonathan, that just give us a sense of God. And these are just a few, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Well, Rick, let's start with Mark 14, verse 36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.
So this is Jesus praying in the garden, mm-hmm. and he uses this Greek word, Abba. And we're going to quote two more scriptures that actually use that same word.
The next is Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave, again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
So you have Jesus using the word Abba in his addressing the Almighty God. And then in Galatians, or in Romans, I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul is saying, we cry to him, Abba, Father, mm-hmm. as well. And read that right. next scripture as well.
Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit which calls out, Abba, Father.
And it's interesting that the influence of God calls out to God. And it's God's influence in our lives that gives us the ability or the opportunity to call out, Abba, Father. So mm-hmm. what is this Abba?
Well, it's an Aramaic word which corresponds to our daddy or papa. And it's found three times, as we've read. And what a blessed privilege it is to be given the right to call the great creator, our father, and that is from the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary.
And Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words actually gives a very interesting spin or twist on this word Abba. Why don't you read that small paragraph?
Sure. Abba is the first word framed by the lips of an infant and betokens unreasoning trust. Father expresses an intelligent apprehension of the relationship. The two together express the love and intelligent confidence of a child.
So when you think about it, Abba, when you think about the sound a small child makes.
That's it. That is so neat.
And so the Greek word for father was formed after that. And again, that word is much more daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference between when someone is talking about their daddy
Or their father,
even though it's the same person.
Oh yeah.
You speak of them differently, and you're saying something different about them.
You're right.
And
it's a tender, heartfelt daddy that, you know, there's only one, and
right.
he's the one that wrestles with you and throws you in the air and spends all his time with you.
And that also has, in my mind, it has the sense of, you know, you have that unquestioning trust.
Yes, definitely.
And when you talk about your father, it's much more, I think, the position of fatherhood.
And the formal addressing.
Right, right. The one who has raised me or takes care of me, mm-hmm. Who's my example, and much more of a defined lines. The mm-hmm. other one's all warm and fuzzy.
Yep,
you know?
Got it.
And it's interesting that in these scriptures, there is a very, very clear admonition that we as Christians have to or ought to have God in our minds on both of those levels.
Good.
Not just that formal heavenly father, but that daddy.
Close-knit.
Right, that has absolutely no questions. The daddy is the one where you're standing on top of the counter and you'll jump off and you know he'll catch you.
Yep.
You know? The father is the one who says, don't jump.
Get off the counter.
Right. Something like that. So what we want to do, Fred, actually we should go into a break. Once we come back from the break, we'll break into a little bit of music. We won't sing, but we'll play some music that reflects the fatherhood of God in heaven on this Father's Day.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, what is a father? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782-443-WSUB.
Interesting, Jonathan, we didn't name it what is a daddy. We said what is a father.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the end result is father. Daddy is a part of it.
Good point.
And as we unfold the subject, we'll get into the differences in those two aspects of fathering. But folks, again, if you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782-443. WSUB. Jonathan, at the end of the first segment, we were talking about God, our Father,
mm-hmm.
our Daddy, mm-hmm. in some ways.
Abba, Father.
Right. And as a scriptural perspective, And we have a hymn that we want to play at this point that I think really expresses the character of God in relation to us. What's its the name? And
This is called "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," sung by Sandy Patty.
Okay, "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," and again, it's the God our Father being faithful to us. Again, was "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," Sandy Patty. Well, that was a different rendition.
That was.
I was ready to get up and dance or something there. and Jonathan, I think that's an appropriate place to start, because as God is faithful to his creation, so we ought to be faithful to our children.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, from our perspective, we believe, obviously, if you've listened to this program before, you get the idea that we believe that God has a master plan. And we're in the middle of the unfolding of that plan, and it's not complete now, so you can't see the end of it, but we have prophecies that indicate what the end looks like. And this master plan is a plan for the good of all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't leave anybody out.
That's right.
And I think his outworking of this plan over the last 6,000 years, he's on target with it.
That's right.
He's working it steady, point by point, year by year as time goes by.
He didn't change anything
right,
in the
right,
middle.
Right, right, right. And I think there's a great lesson toward fatherhood in that, in terms of being faithful to your children, delivering on what you said you would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues of fatherhood. Do we do what we say? Do we live up to the standards? Because when you have small children, especially, they pretty much believe every word you utter to them.
That's right.
And it's a very, very, very important responsibility. So again, folks, we're talking about fatherhood. If you have a thought, give us a call at 443-9782, 443-WSUB. We're dividing fatherhood into four categories or four areas. First is leadership, then care, then giving of your time, and then giving of yourself. And so let's get into the leadership aspect. And you know me, Jonathan, for a long time. Leadership is one of my favorite subjects in life.
Yes, it is.
I love to study leadership. I believe that it's something that is sadly lacking in our world in general. And if more would work at becoming true leaders, not bosses, but true leaders, this world would be so much of a better place. There's a great, first of all, from that piece by Roy Lesson, again, leadership, he says, a dad is respected because he gives his children leadership. There's a quote by John Maxwell, who's my favorite author on leadership.
Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less.
Simple. What is leadership? Leadership is influence. And that's reflected in the fact that with leadership, sometimes the person in the position of leadership may not be the leader.
Mm.
Okay, it may be somebody who is amongst the followers that everyone turns to because that person who's amongst the followers has the influence.
Gotcha.
And I think that's the bottom line of leadership. And folks, I mean, if you're a father, look, you either are a father or you've had a father. Now, in some unfortunate circumstances, maybe you had a father, didn't know your father. Mm. And that's a sad circumstance.
It is.
But a father ought to be a picture of leadership. So let's read a couple of scriptures that give us a sense of God's leadership.
Well, Rick, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Now here you have Abram at 75 listening to his father. What a great example that is. And God is telling him, basically, to pick up where you've had roots and move away.
Mm-hmm.
And he is giving him direction, and he's giving him confidence, saying, go to a land that I will show you. Once you go there, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And he's going on and on and on. He's giving him a promise, mm-hmm. along with a very, very specific direction and instruction. And this instruction was difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's uprooting.
This is a major change.
But I think the leadership aspect is brought out in the fact that God is telling him very, very clearly, this is what I want you to do, and this is why I want you to do it.
And here's the result
right.
of you doing it.
So here, follow me, is mm-hmm. what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Follow my guidance. Now, God obviously wasn't in the form of a human being or anything like that, but he's saying, follow me. I'm going to bring you, I want you to go to a different land, and it's a land that I will show you.
Mm-hmm.
That's God leading Abram.
Good.
Let's look at another scripture with God's leadership.
Psalms 119, verses 97 through 106. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long, understanding that all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way. In order to keep your word, I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are the words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it, to observe your righteous ordinances.
And this is David singing the praises of God, his father. And I love this section of scripture because, it starts out, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day long. And when God the Father had put the law in place and given the Jews of the Old Testament something to live by, David is speaking in terms of how wonderful it was to have his father's guidance. And he meditates on it all day long. Your decrees are my meditation. I keep your precepts. How sweet are your words to my taste. Through your precepts I get understanding. I mean, he's saying, God, you're the man. he's giving this sense of following everything that God has for him. And again, that is a picture of what leadership produces. You don't get that kind of following unless you really are clearly leading.
That's right.
Now, we also know that David did not do a perfect job.
No, he messed up a couple times.
and he messed up big.
Oh, yeah.
But the key is that he could always go back to his father, and because his father, he would follow the leads of his father, he was willing to do what was necessary mm-hmm. to make right the things he did wrong.
Exactly.
And that's the leadership of God. Now, Jonathan, as we look at leadership in our own situation, in our world, we get this. These following 5 points are 5 levels of leadership, and they're from a book. I'm going to do a little advertising for John Maxwell. It's called The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, an excellent book on leadership. And in one of the chapters on leadership, he breaks leadership into 5 different levels. And level 1 is the lowest, and level 5 is the highest. Let's just go through these and put them in the perspective of our program this morning.
All right, number 1, positional leadership. People follow you because they have to.
Okay, that's the way you're the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're the boss, people are going to follow you because you're the boss. Okay?
Number 2, people follow you because they want to.
There's a little difference between because they have to and because they want to.
Third point, people follow you because of what you have done for the organization.
Okay, now we can also break that down into a family mm-hmm. situation,
sure.
What you've done for the family.
Good.
Okay.
Fourth point, people follow you because of what you have done for them.
For them versus the family or the organization.
Individual basis.
Right, so there's a closer knit relationship there.
And the fifth point, people follow you because of who you are and what you represent.
Okay. And, Jonathan, there was a call on the line, and it's off again. If they want to call back,
yep.
Have them feel free to do that.
Very good.
But we have these 5 levels of leadership. And it's interesting because with the positional leadership, that's where most of us get stuck.
Mm.
Not only in terms of, I don't want this to be a lesson on corporate leadership or anything like that, but in terms of the family. You know, in terms of being a dad, do you, as a dad, do you proclaim the laws of the household because you're the dad? Okay, why? Because I said so. I'm sure we've all done that.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking it before you said it.
we've all had that. And there are times where I think that's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's as far as it goes, then our fatherhood, I think, is lacking. Because if it's just because I said so and there's nothing, an example to back up the reason to believe in I said so, then we stumble and fall.
Right.
Okay? So when you look at that, and especially in a lot of places where, in a work environment, for instance, people are frustrated when their boss is a positional leader.
Oh, yeah.
When their boss is, well, I'm the boss, you're the employee, do what I say.
Do it my way.
Right. Now, to transition to the next step, people follow you because they want to. There's got to be something about you, not the position, mm-hmm. but about you that says, this individual is worth following.
Right. they gain respect, right. Your respect.
Right. Now, how is it that you do that? You know, as a father, what do you do to get the respect of your children doing something because you're you? Because they want to do what you say. You know, and a lot of times smaller children, they want to please their dad.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, they want to do whatever it is because they want to make daddy proud.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing.
Sure it is.
There's a difference between that and daddy saying, because I said so. Going up a level now, people follow you because of what you've done for the family. And I think, especially with children, they don't get the sense of that until they're a little bit older.
Good.
And maybe I know that my dad, he always worked very, very hard and never talked about it, never complained about it, but he provided for the family. And you saw that and you could grab a hold of that and you wanted to follow his example because you saw him doing what he needed to do. You know, there was just something very valuable about that, and there's something very attractive in terms of leadership to that. Then people follow you because of what you've done for them. That has, I think, a lot more to do in terms of fatherhood with the idea of paying attention mm-hmm. to that child and giving them your time and your care, and we'll get into
the
that.
The personal touch,
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes, right, right. And, you know, the idea of quality time. And then finally, people follow you because of who you are and what you represent. I think a real true example of fatherhood is a man who, by his very being, exudes what fatherhood means.
Mm-hmm.
And his children have respect for him because of just who he is and how he lives his life.
Good.
Not just what he does within the family, but how he lives his life in general. And they look at that person and say, this is a person that I can follow. And I can tell you, my dad is like that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad
oh, yeah.
has that sense about him that he's lived his life in such a way that he's an easy man to want to emulate.
Absolutely.
And Jonathan, I believe we have a call.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning. My name is Larry. Happy Father's Day.
Good morning, Larry.
To
Happy
you too.
Father's Day.
I have to tell you, I have some thoughts. You know, it seems like today there's a segment of our culture that is rebellion. It's in rebellion against God,
mm-hmm.
the Father. I think it's in rebellion against fatherhood in general. It seems as if fathers today, well, we have responsibility, but we often don't have the authority because it's been taken away from us by our legal system. If a woman is pregnant, she wants to have that child destroyed via abortion, the man has no legal right to do a thing about it. If she chooses to have the child, well, then she'll decide that he will pay and support that child, although he may have no right to be involved in the child's life other than the fact that they sign the checks.
Right.
You know, when you look at our commercials, our movies, our sitcoms, the father always seems to be the stumbling, mumbling person that, you know, doesn't know anything and needs direction from either a woman or a token homosexual on these sitcoms to tell him how to tie his shoes. And I mean, that's seems to be pretty prevalent, unfortunately.
Yeah, you know, and the interesting thing is, it used to be on television, it was the father who was the centerpiece of wisdom.
Exactly.
Long ago.
A loving, caring individual.
Yeah.
And not all fathers are that, but I have to say that he's no longer portrayed as that either. And, you know, again, today, if your minor daughter can be taken by the school nurse for an abortion, you don't even have a right as a father to be informed, much less, you know, your consent required.
Right.
And there's something wrong with these issues. Now, if your 16-year-old daughter or son decides to move out of the house, you can't do anything about it. However, you will be financially responsible for them. So they're taking away the authority of fatherhood. And, again, it's no different than the way they're treating God the Father. We don't want his name mentioned in society, basically. We don't want, you know, we can't even use the word Christmas anymore. It just seems to me there's a rebellion against God, there's a rebellion against fatherhood in general, and against the family. And I hate to be the skunk at the wedding. I really do. But it seems to me these things are taking place, you know, and how do we respond to that? I think we need to stand on the scriptures. We need to stand on the teachings of Jesus Christ. And we, in a nonviolent way, we need to, you know, fight these things. And, you know, perhaps that's one of, you know, oftentimes we think of God as someone in the past or someone in the future, but we don't think of him as the God of today. It's always today with God. And we need to apply it in our lives today, take those scriptures and live them and stand on them and claim our right, because we have as much of a right in the public square as Christians and people of faith, Christians, Jews, Muslims. We have a right in the public square. We have a right to proclaim God.
Okay, Larry, we need to go into break. Thank you very much for your call. Appreciate
good comments. Have a good one.
And we will comment on those things. Fred, well, let's go into the break right now, right after the break. But very thought-provoking comments by Larry.
Oh, for sure.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. What is a father? Stay with us. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, What is a Father? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
And Jonathan, we just had that call from Larry, and he brought up a lot of points, a lot, you know, he said he's the skunk at the wedding. He said it so I can repeat it. But they're very legitimate points.
They are.
And having raised two daughters through adolescence, I can tell you that I was very aware of a lot of these issues about, you know, what your rights are as a child versus what your rights are as a father.
Mm-hmm.
And you have minimal rights as a father in decision-making over your 14, 15, 16-year-old daughter. And I look at that and say, wait a minute.
Something's wrong here.
Yeah, well, and there's something dramatically wrong, because you are the one who is supposed to be utterly and totally, you and the mother, obviously, are supposed to be totally and utterly responsible for their health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you have no right to make health and well-being choices and decisions for them.
It does not make any sense.
It doesn't. And we are in a very serious lack here in our culture, because this exists.
And we were talking at the break of, Satan's very good at what he does.
Yes, he is.
Let's take God out of everything. Take God's order out of the family. Let's just pull God out and see what happens. And we're seeing the results of what's happening without God and without a father and his leadership over a family.
You know, and when you look at, for instance, you look at the Ten Commandments, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is honor thy father and thy mother.
Oh, Julius will be calling any minute now.
But I think that's an important aspect of the order that you mentioned of God. You know, the order of God. When God set marriage in place, he said, you know, this is something to be honored. And thus, you know, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. You have the family arrangement, and God's arrangements are very, very, very crystal clear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the father is the head of the household. Now, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're a tyrant. It doesn't mean that you lord it over your household.
In fact, your responsibility is to love your wife as yourself.
Right.
So it's the great equalizer.
And you're supposed to lead.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, leadership in terms of fatherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, we have another call.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
It's Don. Good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Well, there's Larry again. Christians aren't allowed in the public square. Nonsense. Of course they are. Should they be praying at government buildings and making a big deal of that? No. Violates the separation of church and state.
Well, actually, it doesn't, but let's not get into that, okay?
He says Christians and Jews and Muslims all should be in the public square. Well, that's news to the people in Seymour, where Christians are allowed to pray on National Prayer Day, but not Muslims. And what's this deal about public prayer anyway? I offer you the words of Jesus on that topic, revealed in the book of Mark, chapter 6. Be careful not to make a show of your religion before men. And further, again, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to say their prayers standing up at the synagogue and at the street corners. I tell you this, when you pray, go to a room by yourself, shut the door and pray. But of course, that's only the Son of God speaking. That's not Larry Lanou. Who would know more? Of course, Larry Lanou.
Well, I think that his point, Don, was a little bit different than what you're saying. I think his point was that the equality of what we are recognizing is becoming skewed, and those of a Christian perspective are being put in the background more so than others.
Well, I don't see equality in being observed in Seymour when the in crowd, the Christians, in the person of Reverend Lasu of their local Baptist church, can offer his prayers at a public public property,
you know,
but not Muslims.
And you may be right on that, and I don't
know
the situation.
Right,
okay, well, you know, and I'll give you that. But have you got any comments on Father's Day or fatherhood?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I think it's an insult to fathers to liken them to God.
Oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way.
Most fathers speak to all their children. You can't say that for God. He only speaks to a few prophets who in turn speak to man. To whom does God speak? Well, Moses, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Joan of Arc, a handful of people out of the millions that have lived. Why can't God the Father speak to all men?
That's a good question.
And a small little matter struck me one night. I went outside and fired up the barbecue grill, put a metal cover on top of it to keep the wind from blowing the flames around until they had died down. And I noticed a little insect crawled out from under the handle of the cover and started to look for a way out of his predicament. There was flame beneath him in the ignited grill, and I looked at this thing and I said to myself, you know, if I were a kind guy, I'd get that bug off the hot cover. So I bent down and blew him off the cover, and he landed in the grass, and that was the end of his worries. Why in the world could God, the loving Father, who demonstrated an ability to control vast amounts of water at the Red Sea, according to the book, not have been of a little more help to the people on the shores of the Indian Ocean last year, December 26th, when 170,000 people, or was it only 70,000?
No, I thought it was even more than 170.
Were killed. Where was the loving Father? Huh? If an atheist musician can blow an insect to safety so it doesn't cook to death, where's God the Father on the day after Christmas? Or maybe it was that the majority of the people who were killed on that day were Muslim, and maybe the Christian God really has it in for Muslims.
No.
Well, I only tell you that because I did in the New London Day see a photograph of a minister's daughter carrying a sign, and the sign read, "Thank God for Tsunami."
Oh, that's despicable.
Well, I'm telling you what I saw. Oh. As Will Rogers put it, I only know what I see in the newspapers, and it was her. That was her sign. That was her message, and that's part of my problem with Christianity.
And rightfully so.
And it's our problem too.
Y'all take care.
Thank you, Don. And Jonathan, Don brings up some interesting questions and points here. We don't have time to go into all of them, but I do want to address, first of all, that problem, he says, part of his problem with Christianity, I wholeheartedly agree with.
Oh, yeah.
The idea that the insult that God would do something like that to wipe out those people, to me, is as far from God as you can get.
That's for sure.
That is thinking that is driven by Satan. I just can't see it any other way. The idea, where was God? Well, that's a big subject. Refer you back to the programs we did back in January. We spent 4 hours on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the plan of God does not interfere with all of the events and happenings of the world in which we live. We are in the context of sin and death. This is a small part. Now, you know, when you look at 6,000 years of sin and death, you're saying, how can this be a small part? And the answer is because it's a drop in the bucket in relation to eternity.
And remember, Satan is the prince of this world.
Right. And if, in fact, this was the end of it, if, in fact, that those people who died in that tsunami or in any other tragedy, innocent people whose lives were taken from them without any provocation whatsoever, if, in fact, that was the end of everything, then I would sit here before you all and question God.
Definitely.
I would say, what kind of God
would do that?
Would allow this to happen? But fortunately, we have an understanding through the scriptures that God, our Father, has this plan whereby through the ransom of Jesus, all will be resurrected.
All the families of the earth will be blessed.
So those people who were wiped out without any justification or provocation in that tsunami,
God knows each and every one of them.
And they will be given a right to life.
That's right.
Eternally upon the earth. Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." That's the plan that God has.
Christ died for the just and the unjust.
Right.
So there's an equality. It will be fair, but we have to wait and see that in God's kingdom.
And the other part of that is that in this resurrection, those, no matter who you are, you have this opportunity at life. But you will also have to answer for your activities and actions in this life. So those people who hold up signs that say, "Thank God for the tsunami," have an awful lot to answer for.
And they've got to turn their hearts to God because they're so far from Him
right
at this point.
Right. So there is a great justice in the plan of God. There is a great wisdom in allowing the experience of sin for a time so we can look back on it and say, never want to go there again.
For sure.
And again, I refer to you the idea of being a father of a child. And I know in my experience as a father, having allowed my children to do things that were not good or not right, not stopping them, because I saw the ultimate lesson.
There's value to that lesson.
Right, right. Not that you throw the kid into the fire and say, "See how much it hurts."
No.
But you know, there's a choice matter. Jonathan, there's a call, but you know what? Let's hold the call to the beginning of the second hour. So whoever is online, can you call back at the beginning of the second hour? Because there's not enough time to address a call well enough here.
Right. We want to hear it all.
Okay. So because we have 1 minute left. So Jonathan, we're talking about Father's Day. We're talking about the idea of what it means to be a father in terms of leadership right now. We've been spending a lot of time on God the Father. Some questions have come up. We don't want to spend a lot of time on that because we want to talk about fatherhood in general and the good that fatherhood can bring if fathers would stand up and be counted as fathers ought to be. And that means if fathers would be the example they're supposed to be in leading their families.
A father that cares for their family.
A father that gives their time, that precious time, instead of maybe watching the football or the baseball game, to their family.
A father that gives of himself to the family.
If we, as fathers, would fathers unite, you know, start a movement here, you know, just would decide to be what we're supposed to be and play the part that God has given us to play, we could do so much good in the world in which we live. Today is a day to honor fathers of that nature, fathers who have stood up and been a great example to us. And in the second hour, we'd like to spend most of our time talking about perhaps your experiences with your father or as a father, to look at the good that fatherhood brings. For Jonathan and Rick, this is Christian Questions. What is a Father? We'll be back after the news, but till then, think about it. John Holmes once said, "There is no exercise better for the heart than reaching down and lifting people up." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. The objective of our program is to discuss with you, our listeners, thought-provoking and meaningful topics based on the Bible. It's a call-in format. We are caller-friendly, and we look forward to hearing your point of view. Jonathan, what are we talking about this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, what is a father? And our theme text is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him."
Okay, and we're talking, obviously it's Father's Day, mm-hmm. and happy Father's Day to all of those listening.
Yes.
And we are talking about fatherhood from the perspective of the Scriptures, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about fatherhood from the perspective of God as our Father. And also we used a piece in the first hour written by Roy Lesson called "The Heart of a Father."
And there were four different examples that he gave us, the first being leadership, the second care, the third our time, and the fourth we give of ourselves, himself.
Okay, and so what we thought we would do this morning is break this program out into those four pieces, and we've gotten into the discussion on leadership, and that's as far as we've gotten.
Yes.
We've had some interesting calls along the lines of both positive and negative in terms of the example of God as our Father. And we do appreciate the input. And folks, as you make your calls at 443-978-2443-WSUB, we really want to focus on fatherhood and examples and experiences of fatherhood and what they mean and what they can mean. And near the end of the first hour, we were talking about the idea of claiming the responsibility of fatherhood,
mm-hmm.
sort of with open arms.
Sure.
And if we could do that, how much better off we'd be. You know, there's last year when we did our Father's Day program, we read some statistics about boys who grew up without a father in their home, how much more likely they were to be in trouble and so forth and so on.
Right.
I don't remember that, but they were staggering, the differences.
That's right.
And a father has a tremendous influence on his children, and we need to realize that. We need to capitalize on that tremendous influence. Jonathan, let's go into a few aspects of the God our Father and what he does for us and what we ought to do for our children as fathers, or what our fathers hopefully did for us. God our Father, first of all, he inspires us to grow.
That's right. Let's read Hebrews 4, verse 16. "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
And before I comment on that, Fred just reminded me, there was somebody who called right at the end of the first hour. We told him to call back in the second hour, so anytime you want to do that, feel free to do that. So God inspires us to grow because he's saying, come to me, and you can find grace to help in any time of need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he's inviting us to go to him and to
in prayer.
Right, to be built up.
Mm-hmm.
Another scripture.
Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint."
And again, waiting upon the Lord, renewing their strength, mounting up with wings as eagles. This is poetic in some ways. But what it's saying is, you know, it's the inspiration to go out and grow and be, you know, sounds like an army ad, be all you can be. But that's what God our Father wants from us and wants for us. And as fathers, how do we inspire our children to grow? What do we do? What do we put in front of them? How do we encourage them? How do we motivate them? And I think that's all important part of what being a father is, especially in terms of leadership. That's your job.
Yep.
Or one of your jobs. You have a lot of jobs, actually.
That's right. Another is God gives us direction. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose."
So the idea that things work together for good, because God is understanding it and overruling those activities of life.
That's right.
God gives us direction, and we ought to give our children direction, not just be there as a sounding board, but to give them direction, give them a focus, because that's your job.
Well, Rick, we have a call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Well, it isn't Don.
Okay.
Okay. All right, it isn't Don.
Okay.
Right.
It's Peter.
Good morning. It's Peter. Hey.
Hey, good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
To you too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got Don to read the Bible. Did he quote some scripture?
Yes, he did.
Yes. Whoa, baby, it's working. And he actually did become one of those handful touched where God worked through by saving the life of that innocent insect with a breath.
That's right.
Blowing it to safety to the cool grass. Hello. He did a good thing.
That's right.
This tsunami thing is troubling. And but the one thing people seem to overlook is that maybe we did get a divine message to run for safety because the animals did. And nobody observed them. Nobody looked at them and said, whoa.
Yeah, what's going on
here?
Wasn't
that a unique thing?
It was.
They did leave somehow the only... I guess the only tragedy was that people, naturally, so many people lost their lives. It was terrible, but somehow animals got out of there in time, and nobody got the message. Maybe they weren't looking at that issue. I think we maybe lose our connection somehow. We have to look at all the things. If we're stewards, a shepherd would notice his flock, and if there was anything odd or different, he would investigate.
True.
You know, but I did want to call and wish you all a happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you, Peter. Glad you did.
And kudos for getting Don to open the book. I wouldn't have, you know, it threw me a little bit. My God, yeah, but... it's a good show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And interesting perspective there on the tsunami thing. And that was true. You know, a lot of the animals, for whatever, their instinct told them to run for higher ground. And there is an interesting lesson in that. But again, the overview of this is that God is not orchestrating every tiny event, every major event of this present evil world. He's allowing events to unfold on their own so he can bless us all later. That's his plan. That's his leadership as our father. And Jonathan, we were talking about fatherhood and giving direction. And again, folks, if you have a thought, give us a call at 443-978-2443-WSUB. You know, the idea of giving your children direction is one of those things that takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be able to give direction, you have to have some direction yourself.
Good point.
Because if you don't, the direction you give isn't going to be taken with much credibility.
Won't be very consistent.
Right, right. You know, the old thing, don't do as I... What is it? Do as I say, but don't do as I do. No, you know, that doesn't cut it. If you're going to be
right.
A father, you can't live like that. You have to live the kind of life that your children would want to emulate, want to look up to on a regular basis.
Well, Rick, we have another call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
This is Larry again. Forgive me for calling back, but I feel I'd like to, you know, respond to some of the things that Don Woods had to say. You know, the tsunami, we have a natural order of things, and to, you know, to blame God for that, I just can't. You know, we in the scriptures, Jesus was in the boat with the apostles, these professional sailors, and it was a storm. You know, now, did Jesus cause the storm? But he did calm the storm. He did do that.
Right.
Because all at once, the professional sailors that didn't need any help from Jesus in sailing the boat, suddenly they're crying out for help.
Mm-hmm.
And they received it. And, you know, when we think of Lazarus in the Bible, when Jesus raised him from the dead, Jesus loved him. He was a friend of Jesus. Why did Jesus allow him to die? Because he could raise him from the dead and show who he was. He did the same thing for Jairus' daughter. He raised her from the dead. The little boy in the funeral parade, he raised him from the dead. So maybe he was showing us that he is. We do have eternal life through him. And, you know, and to blame all Christians, as Don Woods said, I mean, he basically doesn't like Christianity because of what someone in Seymour did or a girl with a some kind of sign that was in the New London Day. you know, I don't judge all people according to who Don Woods is.
Right.
It wouldn't be fair. And I don't think we should judge all Christianity according to what someone in Seymour does.
Right, and you know, and I think the other issue on that is when you see something like that, it's right to speak out against it.
Oh, absolutely, I agree, 100%.
Because that way, you know, you're letting people know that your perspective is not in line with such.
But they're not representative of all
right.
people of faith, and
right.
it's unfair to paint everyone that way because you see someone do something very negative. We don't paint all the apostles, you know, according to Judas Iscariot.
Right.
You know, it's the... We have to open our eyes and have a wider vision. We can't have tunnel vision and say, you know, I don't like Christianity. I don't believe in God, but I don't understand why God's not speaking to me. Well, you know, why? How could you expect someone to speak to you if you don't believe in him? Have a conversation with him, and you'll see he may speak to you. Sometimes he may be speaking to us through a bug that could be on a barbecue grill. That maybe we represent that bug. And there's a power greater than ourselves that could save us.
Point well taken.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay, Larry.
Thanks for calling, Larry.
And, okay, folks, now look. This is Father's Day, all right? I want to talk about dads, okay? How about you?
Definitely.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of other things here that are obviously brewing, and that's okay, and that's good, and I really appreciate the fact that you folks are calling in with your perspectives, and we... Our policy is to entertain and hear people out. We do want to stay focused, though. We want it because, Jonathan, today is a day that, I mean, it's nice to, you know, to sit around and get the cards and, you know, have your kids, you know, wish you a happy Father's Day and, you know, make you feel special and all that.
Yep.
But more than that, to me, today is a day that we ought to really focus and look at ourselves and say, now I'm talking to those of you who are fathers, as I am myself, and say, how am I living my life as a true father? How am I being a dad to my kids? What am I doing daily to be the example, to be that the leader in our family? What am I doing to help them find their way in this utterly confused world? To me, that's what Father's Day does for me. And again, I enjoy all, you know, being pampered, but it really makes me think, how do I fulfill my personal responsibility as a father? So as we go into the break, folks, let's start to focus on that. Focus on what is it that makes a real father?
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. Grab your Bibles. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, what is a father? To be a part of our program, call 443-9782, 443-WSUB.
And folks, we're talking about fatherhood. We're talking about what it means to be a father, what it means to play the role. If you've had experience where your father has been a great example, we'd love to hear about that in terms of leadership, in terms of giving of their caring, giving of their time, or giving of themselves. Those are the four aspects we truly want to focus on this morning. Jonathan, we have a call. Let's take that first.
Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
Good morning, gentlemen. This is Julius.
Good morning, Julius.
Well, happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To everybody.
And to you.
Did I hear you mention the Ten Commandments?
Uh-oh.
Stay focused, brother.
Yeah.
Stay focused.
You know, as you went through the four aspects of fatherhood, I think in a sense you fellows give that type of leadership, that service of fatherhood, because you certainly have leadership, you have care, you give of your time, and you give of yourselves. I think of that so often, the time and the effort you spend for this program, a two-hour program, how early you must get up, especially you, Rick. But anyway, I appreciate that. And when I call, my intent is always to compliment what you say, not to add or take away, but to compliment, because you speak according to the Word. You go right to the Bible, to the source of instruction. Here is, you know, once I've heard quite a bit of discussion, I've come to this definition for fatherhood. And you just asked before the break, you said, what is father? What is a father? That's what you're focusing on. And very simply, a father is a giver of life. God, our Father, gives us life. He is truly our Father, basically. And then all the other things that go with it. He gives us the sunshine and so forth, indirect life. It's interesting, you know, that in Matthew 23, I believe it is, where the Lord Jesus instructed his disciples, says, call no man father, alluding, referring to this idea of reverend, rabbi, etc., etc., because one is your father in heaven. Naturally, you know, our natural fathers are the exception. But basically, our Heavenly Father gives us life. What could be greater than that? Now, just one quick point about why God allows things to happen. You brought it out so many times, and I shouldn't go even into it, but that God views time differently than we do. He looks at eternity, and he has a plan. That's sufficient. I believe the scriptures, that there is a resurrection for all of those that died, and so forth. So God is a great provider. He is the giver of life, and our Lord Jesus was the greatest teacher along that line. So thanks for sharing. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. We appreciate your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Give the guy credit. He stayed focused.
Yes, he did.
I know he was tempted. But good thoughts, though, on fatherhood. And, you know, a father is a giver of life. And, mm-hmm. you know, a father is a giver of life, and a daddy is a promoter of life.
Excellent.
You know,
excellent.
You've got to give the life, and you've got to promote it and build it up.
Nice.
And that's what we're supposed to do. And folks, if you're out there and you're a father, take a look at yourself. Look in the mirror today and say, how am I living the life of a father? We're never going to get through all this. You know, it was a little nerve-wracking because our material this morning was short. We didn't have a lot.
Do we have enough here?
And we're never going to get through it. A couple of other points in terms of leadership before we go on to the second point, and we've got 30 minutes left. Amazing. Keeping your word.
Let's read Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
God is faithful. He makes promises. God keeps his promises. We also ought to, as children, ought to do the same. See, that's pure leadership. You expect your children to keep their promises. Well, why is it that you expect them to?
Be a man of your word.
Right, because you keep yours.
Mm-hmm.
That is just such a key factor in proper fathering.
Yes. Well, God also inspires us to overcome. And let's read Psalms 18:29 and verse 32. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect.
And again, as a father, one of the things that you do is you try to inspire your children to stand their ground when they need to stand their ground, to move forward, to not be afraid. You know, one of the examples in my own life, my daughter Emily. And you know Emily. She's
sure.
Of my three children, she's the smallest of the three. But she's had many experiences. She goes to college, long ways away from here. So she's out there on her own. She's finished her second year of college. And, you know, one of the things I admire about Emily is her ability to stand firm for what she believes in.
Right.
And she had an experience in school where there was, you got all kinds of relationship stuff going on in the dorms and all of this, and there was a guy who was being somewhat abusive to his girlfriend. And she walked right in that room, got in his face, and told him off. And she told me about this, and, you know, I'm thinking, girl, what are you doing? And she said, Dad, I just couldn't take it. He shouldn't have been speaking to her. He shouldn't have been treating her like that. She said, my voice was quaking and shaking, but I wouldn't back off because he needed to hear what I was telling. And, you know, and I admire that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea of when you see something that needs to be dealt with, you go deal with it.
Good.
And that's something I've always tried to teach my children. And, you know, to see that kind of thing happen, you say, wow.
She learned the lesson.
Yeah, that's
and
really.
She's following through.
That's something that you go, man, that's awesome.
Excellent. How about disciplining us, how our Heavenly Father does? In Hebrews 12:5-7, "And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as children. My child, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when you are punished by him. For the Lord disciplines those whom he loves, and chastens every child whom he accepts. Endure trials for the sake of discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children is there whom a parent does not discipline?"
So, and that's so important. Again, if you are really, truly a father, I mean, if you're really being a dad, you need to be able to discipline your children.
That's right.
You need to be able to set the record straight. And, you know, that requires a lot of things. First of all, it requires the courage to do it.
Yes.
Secondly, it requires the sense of right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, it requires the confidence in the courage and the sense. You know, the confidence to take the stand and to say, you're being disciplined because this, this, and this. And, you know, sometimes it comes down to why. Well, because, you know, it's an issue of right and wrong. Well, what makes you decide, you know, what's right and what's wrong? And, I mean, how do you answer a question like that? I've had to answer those kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and the bottom line is, A, again, you've got to be able to look at your life and say, and trace your following of right versus wrong in your own life. And whether or not you've done a great job of it doesn't mean you can't start today.
Good point.
Okay? And the idea of disciplining is so critical. Children need discipline.
And if you've seen children that haven't been disciplined, you know why they need discipline.
yeah, you're right about that. And it just makes such a difference when you are able to hand out discipline. And it needs to be done with love. It needs to be done with compassion. And do you spank your kids? That's a different issue. We don't want to talk about that. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it. You know, but I, whatever your disciplinary methods are, they need to be done not out of anger.
Out of love.
Right. Because the purpose of the discipline is because you love them, as God in that Hebrew scripture loves us. That's the purpose of his discipline to us. So, Jonathan.
All right. Leadership is done. We're on point number two, Rick.
It took us an hour and a half.
How about, here it is, care. A dad is appreciated because he gives his children care.
And, Jonathan, we have a scripture here that, in the interest of time, we won't read, but I want to just talk about for a few minutes. If you look at the 38th chapter of Job was in a situation, if you recall, he was being tested to the nth degree.
And Satan was doing that testing.
Right, and he was being tried, and he had all kinds, everything in life was going wrong. He had his three comforters come to him, and they weren't much comfort.
No, they said, curse God.
Yeah, curse God and die, you know. Give it up. They kept saying, what did you do wrong? You must have done something wrong. You must have been bad. Just admit it, Job. And, you know, Job is saying, I'm not getting this. So in a vision, God answers Job. Now, you know, God is not speaking in a voice to him, but he's speaking in a vision to him. And he says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And the 38th chapter is God's answer. And what he says, just let me read a couple of verses. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. He's saying, stand up. Be a man here. I will question you, and I want you to answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I determined its measurements or stretched the line upon it? Where were you when I sunk the bases of the foundation? Or when the morning stars sang together? And he goes on and on and on. And these scriptures talk about the magnitude of creation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically saying, Job, I put this all in place. Were you there? Why are you questioning me? Why? You have no idea of the magnitude and the care that I put into this creation.
That's right.
For the ultimate benefit of mankind. Now, again, we're living in a situation now where sin and death reign, and you're saying, well, where's the benefit? And my answer to that is real simple. The scriptures say, wait, and it's coming, and you'll get it, and you won't miss out.
That's right.
So I think that's a good perspective on God's care. He prepared things. He put things in place for us so that we could live a life on an earth that will be perfected at some point in the future. Jonathan, there was a song that you wanted to play at this point.
Sure. It's called That's My Job by Richard Marx.
So, and this is a son talking to his father, I think, is the idea behind the song, and you know, worrying about what would happen if you weren't around.
Mm-hmm.
And the father's response is, "It's my job to take care of you.
Yes.
It's my job to do things. It's my job to be the one who overrides your difficulties and is there to care." So as Fred gets that ready, he's working hard. He's diligent in the corner. I'll just start reading some of the words of the song, just to give you an idea. It says, "When I woke up crying late one night when I was very young, I had dreamed my father had passed away and gone. My world revolved around him. I couldn't lie there anymore, so I made my way down to the mirrored hall and tapped upon his door. And I said, 'Daddy, I'm so afraid.'" And that's the gist of the song, and the dad's response is, "Hey, that's my job."
Very young.
Again, that was That's My Job by Richard Marx.
Boy, is that powerful, huh? That was absolutely beautiful. And it just gives a sense of what a true father is all about, you know, from the young child to the adult. That's my job. That's what I do. That's what I'm about. And that's that highest level of leadership we touched on earlier in the program. That's what true fatherhood really is.
This is Jonathan and Rick with Christian Questions on 980 WSUB. What is a father? Stay with us. Welcome back to Christian Questions on 980 WSUB with Jonathan and Rick. Our subject this segment, What is a Father? To be a part of our program, call 443-978-2443-WSUB.
And Jonathan, we are talking about a father giving care. Mm-hmm. Dad is appreciated because he gives his children care. That song was a beautiful, beautiful example of caring for your child throughout their entire life. And just a couple of other points on care. God, as our Father, He protects us.
Let's read Psalms 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble.
Okay, so the defense and refuge, the protection. Now, obviously, sometimes we step outside of the protective power, but that's part of what a father does. And even when you can't protect your children, you still want to protect your children.
That's right.
Trust me, I know this.
Yes. Also, God our Father knows our needs. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
And
not our needs. His needs for us.
Right. So it's not our wants. It's not what
exactly.
We prefer necessarily, but it's the things that we need to have our lives be well-rounded. And because we are in the last segment of the program, Jonathan, we need to move through this. We want to talk about a father giving his time. A dad is valued because he gives his children time. There's no greater gift than that, to give your children time. And just a quick experience, you know, my brother, he has this son. His son's name is Matthew, and they went to the Yankees game yesterday.
Okay.
And I'm a real Yankees fan, so I just got to say this. Derek Jeter hit his very first Grand Slam home run in that game yesterday. He's been playing for like 10 years, and I was driving down the road listening to the game on the radio, and I was talking to my wife about the fact that my brother and his son were at the game, and I said,
right.
Wouldn't it be great, because Jeter was up and the bases were loaded. I said, boy, if Jeter could just hit a Grand Slam and Matthew could see it.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
And because, you know, that part of fatherhood, and then next pitch, he hit a grand slam. It's really cool. but part of fatherhood is just stopping and giving your children time. And what an amazing gift that is, the gift of your time for your children. There's another song, Jonathan, we want to do before our time
runs
out.
That's right. And, Rick, that's called Dance with My Father. And that is sung by Buddy Jewell.
All right. Dance with My Father by Buddy Jewell. And again, this is taking you from the child's perspective of how, you know, dad tosses you in the air and just makes you happy.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. when I and my mother would disagree. To get my way, I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left the dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her even more than me. I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
And again, that was Dance With My Father, sung by Buddy Jewell.
And another example of the music sometimes that's required to get us to think in the right terms. About giving your time to your child. And
the impression that you leave upon your child.
It's an amazing impression that you leave. It really, truly, truly is amazing. And
God will answer that prayer in the kingdom when all the families of the earth will be brought back together.
Can you even imagine?
The greatest reunion ever in history.
Can you just even fathom what it would be like, or what it will be like, to have families reunited? And when... It's beyond. I can't even get my arms around it. It's so big to me, and it's so real. I live every day with that hope and that expectation, based on scripture and prophecy. And folks, again, we're talking about fatherhood and what fatherhood is, what it means, and one of the big important things about being a father is giving your time. And when you give your time, it's an amazing end result. You know, again, Jonathan, one little personal story along those lines. You know, my youngest is 18. She's graduating from high school on this coming Thursday.
Oh, wow.
And my oldest is 22. My son is the oldest, and I have two daughters, Tim, Emily, and Amy. And I've been doing a lot of work in the yard, you know, got rid of some shrubbery and a lot of stuff, and cut some trees down and stuff. And, you know, there's just lots of stuff to haul away. And I had mentioned to one of my daughters to help me out. I asked her. I said, you know, if you get some time, maybe you could help me out. And it wasn't 5 minutes later and she was out there. And then my other daughter came along and just started helping. And when my son came home from work, it was on a Saturday, he just jumped right in, and then he started taking it upon himself to do some of the work.
Oh, neat.
And you know, that's one of the things that I don't even have to ask anymore. And what a thrill.
Wow.
To be at that point where they just step up. And they see what's going on, and they've gotten to the age where they can observe and respond with some maturity. And, you know, as a father, those are the kinds of things that you live for. You want your children to be able to observe and respond with maturity. And they just take it upon themselves to do the job and, you know, take it easy, Dad. You know, we can help you. And, you know, it's just that's part of what happens when you invest time. There's a return on that investment.
Well, Rick, we have a call. Welcome to Christian Questions. This is Jonathan and Rick. Who are we speaking with?
It's Don.
Yes.
I may have been mistaken. I had thought that it was an insult to fathers to regard God as the father of man because I was thinking of fathers like my father and thinking that the God who turns his back on the people of Sri Lanka and Ceylon is not properly compared to someone like my father. But I could have been mistaken because not all fathers are like mine. There are millions of men who enjoy themselves with girlfriends and create children and then turn their back on their children and are not there for them. So perhaps God is the father. Bye.
Well, like I said, the point here is to give honor to fatherhood. And Don, we're glad that you had a father that was worth honoring. And I'm still a little bit sad that you don't understand the magnitude of the Father's plan and purpose, not only for the world of mankind, but for you specifically. Jonathan, as our time is rapidly running out, we need to move on from the point of time onto the last point, because there's almost no time.
And that's himself. A dad is loved because he gives his children the one thing they treasure most, himself.
And when there's a difference between giving your time and giving of yourself. And when you give of yourself, there is an added dimension. It is unbroken attention. It's that clear-cut focus that says, I, as the child, am the most important thing in my dad's life right now. And there's nothing greater than a child that can have that experience.
That's for sure.
And again, those are the kinds of things that make you, that create a memory, you know, and you see, the, you know, like in that song where, you know, dancing with his father, you know, they're tossing up in the air and that kind of thing.
Yep, spinning around, yeah.
Right, in an undivided devotion that's there. Again, another personal story from long ago when my son was young, we were doing a major remodeling project on our house, and I mean, major. Place was completely torn apart, and it's like a three-story house, and I was working on the structure way up top, and he was only little. He was maybe four or five or whatever, maybe even younger, three, and he just wanted to be around, you know, so I would keep him with me, and I remember sitting him up on a ledge somewhere. I mean, we're high off the ground. We're in the structure, but I sat him there. I said, just, Tim, don't move. Just stay there, you know, and I'm working right with him. You know, so it wasn't dangerous, but the glow on his face that he got to sit way up high working with Dad.
Neat.
Was one of those things that I'll never forget, because there's that glow. And what a father ought to do is create that glow in their children's eyes by spending time and effort. And there is such value in that time that we can give to our children. So let's look at how God gives of himself for us.
Well, he provides for us, and this is found in Matthew 6:32-33. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
So in our seeking of the kingdom, God promises to take care of the things that we need. Not maybe everything that we want, because fathers don't do that.
You're right.
You know, if a father did give a child everything they wanted, the child would end up being the father in the household.
Very spoiled.
Right. It just wouldn't be a good situation. When a father gives of himself to his children, he also guides them. And, you know, guidance is different than giving direction. When you give directions, you're saying, go this way, go that way, go this way, go that way. Guiding means you're going along for the ride. I'll take you there. Let's look at some scriptures on guidance.
Well, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
And the idea of acknowledging him in all your ways, I know this is one of your favorite scriptures.
It is indeed.
The idea of acknowledging him in all your ways means that he's ever with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something to be said for taking the journey with your children. And you can do that in a lot of different ways. But folks, again, I encourage you, as if you are a father especially, look at how am I living out the responsibilities of fatherhood, the responsibilities to give those things that need to be given in such a way that it is so high quality that there can be no denying what the end results are. What else does a father do when he gives of himself?
He calms us. Let's read Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
And for a father to have a calming effect on their children, you have to be around.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be there. You have to give them the confidence to be able to deal with whatever the trauma and the difficulty is. And, again, in my own personal experience as a father and dealing with my children and going through the teenage years, there were some rocky times. And in those rocky times, if you can present to them a firm, confident guidance, it's calming. That's what God can do for us if we allow him to. Folks, we're talking about fatherhood on Father's Day. And we really hope that today was a good lesson in retrospection and looking inside of ourselves to see if we are in fact doing the things we ought to be doing the way we ought to be doing them. What is a father? Hopefully you know a little bit more about that. For Jonathan and Rick, this is Christian Questions. Till next week, think about it.